Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Stevens.
So hang a sign.
And today we have a fascinating topic. It is about the pharmaceutical industry, but more importantly, it's about a woman's journey as a professional, but her life story about how she had to work with addiction and other variables in an industry that so often we don't hear this subject matter even talked about. My guest today is Ann Dee. Her very revealing book is called The Best Pharmacist. Ann, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna, for having me.
I met you at the National Publicity Summit last fall, mm-hmm. and when you presented your material to me at the time, I was so impressed with your story and what it is that you have evolved through. And I looked at this and I thought, this is something that is fascinating. We live in a world today where the association of addiction, alcoholism, it seems like it's at just incredible, incredible levels.
Mm-hmm.
Over-the-counter prescription abuse. In fact, I think that's cited as one of the big things. But your story, you were very brave writing about this. When you wrote your book, The Best Pharmacist, and were telling your story, was this part of your healing? Was this something that when you did it, you said, I'm doing this because not only do I want to share the story, but I want to get rid of some of the things that I've been carrying in my own backpack for a long time?
Sure, I think that was part of it, Donna. But a very big part was that after I would give speeches at the medical university and the College of Pharmacy at the University of South Carolina, the mm-hmm. students would come up to me and say, you really need to write a book. You really need to let people know about this. You really need to let people know what's going on. And so that really was my impetus for it, the students coming up to me. But as a byproduct, I did have a cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With your family, let's backstep a little bit. Your family, you had a father who was a wonderful guy, but one drink and he would just all of a sudden do a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of a personality shift. And then you had a mom that was really always with these very, very high demands. You were quite a good student in school, weren't you?
We had to be. Making anything less than A's was not acceptable, and it was a condition of her love that we make straight A's. So, you know, that was part of my problem. But my dad, yeah, he was an alcoholic, and this is a generational curse that he mm-hmm. passed on to me. But yeah, he could take one drink, and I could tell that, you know, it was like turning on a light switch. He would become instantly abusive and mean to me, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. he saw in me what he so despised in himself, and that was the characteristics of an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, that is a characteristic of most human beings. Don't we often point our finger at somebody else and fail to acknowledge that maybe that's something we need to improve in ourselves?
Exactly. When you see something that you don't like in someone else, it's usually something about yourself that you actually don't like. And a lot of times we fail to see that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you really had some pretty harsh experiences. You had someone rape you when you were going through a gynecological exam.
Mm-hmm.
You were raised at a time when you were to be seen and not heard, and of course, women were not allowed. If they said rape, they were automatically considered a liar, and
right.
that they didn't have anything like they've got today where they could check you, where you had people that would be willing to listen and get good information. But you were 10 years old when this happened to you.
Mm-hmm. It was 10 years old, and I knew that if I went home and told my parents in their sick, twisted minds, some way they would turn it around and blame it on me. Well, what did I do? What did you do to cause this?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, even if they didn't, in a small southern town, you just didn't talk about things like this.
right.
But I tell you what I've discovered since writing this book, that I opened the door because I was not the only person this happened to.
Mm-hmm.
So it has really been a very cleansing book for other people, too.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's why I asked you the question I did at the beginning when we started talking. I was fascinated with the fact that your mom decided that you and your sister were supposed to become involved in the positions of being pharmacists. Your mother is quite an interesting person. Why do you think she decided on that profession? Because at that time, women to be considered for that profession was very rare. Now it's very common. There's all mm-hmm. kinds of women in the pharmaceutical industry, but and working as pharmacists. But at that time?
I don't know, Donna. I've thought about this so many years. Thank God she didn't ask me to be a rocket scientist, because I would be one. But I don't know why she was so fixated on that profession, but she was for some
reason. Steph. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know what people are thinking or why they will have that. Maybe she hurt somebody. But here you are, you and your sister, gee whiz, this is what you're supposed to do. And, of course, that's not unusual for that time frame either. In fact, it still goes on today in a lot of families. Mm-hmm. If granddaddy was an attorney, you're supposed to be an attorney or a doctor
yes.
or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say, thank you, but I'd rather be a biologist checking worms out in the middle of the Amazon. No, that's not going to be acceptable.
Right.
We still have those kinds of conditions that go on today. But your challenge, because of a lot of the things that you went through, you found that when you started entering, and you entered into puberty earlier than
mm-hmm.
most. You entered into it really at 10 years of age. But here you are at 12, and what made you take that first drink? What was it that made you say, this is pretty good stuff?
You know, as part of my characteristic, I was always a daredevil. And again, that's a characteristic of an alcoholic slash addict. We, you know, notoriously like the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an unknown. And I was at a Halloween party, and there were older people there, and they said, try this. And I did, and Donna, I immediately fell in love. It was such a warm feeling rushing through my body. I felt like I could conquer anything as long as I had that drink in me.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, you and your sister, your mother had put this demand upon you that you were to go into the area of pharmaceutical environment and become a pharmacist, and you decided, okay, this is what mother wants, this is what I do. Your sister, though, changed direction.
She did.
She said, nope, not going to do that. Why didn't you change direction?
Because I still felt like it was a condition of her love. I saw how my mom reacted to her when she changed professions.
Mm-hmm.
It was like all respect for her was lost. She treated her differently. And I didn't want to go through that. I wanted to have my mother's love and respect. So I forged on.
Well, you really did the job at school. You went to school, and you finally graduated. But it's fascinating, and I think of so many situations that go on even today, how much families will dictate to their children, like you were dictated to. You were supposed to be married. And, of course, you were living in the South, and the attitude in many areas of country, it's not so bad today, thank heavens. But there was a period that if a girl was not married by the time she was 18, 19 years of age, my goodness, if she turned 25 and wasn't married, she was over the hill, dead in the water, and nobody would ever look at her. I don't care if she looked like Elizabeth Taylor. That is just, you know, that's just exactly what people thought at that time.
It was. And after my parents divorced, we went to live with both sets of grandparents alternately. But one grandmother told me one day that, you know, I was 25 years old and people were starting to talk that I needed to get married. And I never asked her, were they saying I was gay or were they saying I was wild? I never asked her. I just Got married within the next few weeks.
Well, and then you ended up having a boy.
I did.
You had a baby, and now you were having a problem with your alcoholism, and you went off of it because you said you were throwing up every few minutes when you were pregnant with him. So it really, you were not involved in any kind of what we call alcoholic or narcotic substances when you were pregnant with him. But your son had some major problems when he was born.
He did. He was born 3 months early, and he had grade 2 brain hemorrhage and a hole in the heart that usually everybody is born with, but usually closes up. His did not. He had rotated hips, an eye that wasn't quite right, and he was 2 pounds when he was born, 3 months early, 3 months. So, but I did not drink from the time we decided to get pregnant until way after he was born, because I did have enough sense to know I wanted to give my child every fighting chance I could, you know, and I had enough sense to know that I did not want to bring a child into this world who was addicted to alcohol, you know, with that fetal alcohol syndrome. But as you know, alcohol is a progressive disease, and even if you stop for a while, when you start back, within a week, you're right back where you were when you stopped drinking. And so that's what happened to me.
Well, your son is a wonderfully healthy person at this time in his life, but your drama of experience after he was born really got pretty accelerated, didn't it?
Yes. I started drinking heavily because that's the nature of the disease. It is a progressive disease. It's a terminal disease, the only terminal disease I know that you can decide if you want to live and die from. It's the only terminal disease I know that you're able to do that. But pills, my alcohol quickly progressed to pills, and I found out you could wake up without a hangover if you did pills. You could wake up without smelling horribly and bloodshot eyes and go to work if you did pills. And the pills quickly progressed to heroin.
Amazing. Now, you are a pharmacist during
still
this time.
Still am. Mm-hmm.
You're still a pharmacist.
Right.
So you had this. Now, when you got into the heroin, you were caught. Because Jonesy? Talk about Jonesy.
Okay. I was caught for diverting drugs out of the pharmacy. And diverting drugs simply means stealing drugs for recreational use. That's what I was doing. And thank God someone in that pharmacy knew I was doing that and turned me in to the police. And in our state, it's DHEC, Department of Health and Environmental Control. And Jonesy and I went to school together, and he was the supervisor for this area, and they had caught me on tape stealing drugs from the pharmacy. And he saw that tape and recognized me, and of course he knew me in pharmacy school. We were good friends, and he said, "Oh no, something terrible has had to go wrong in this girl's life, you know, for her to do this, because she's not like this." So he personally came and arrested me and took me to jail. And I so appreciated that, because he explained to my husband that, you know, 10% of pharmacists that we know of have this problem, and that's a conservative issue. That's a conservative estimate, excuse me, because 10% is only the amount of pharmacists who've been caught or have been caught diverting. So it's a very conservative estimate. But, yeah, I did go to jail, and, of course, you're fingerprinted and mugshot and all like that. And when you come out, you stand before this judge, and as I looked up at the judge, well, before I looked up, he said, "Well, I guess I don't have to ask where you work." And I looked up, and it was one of my customers.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, so that was an experience. And so he gave, and he knew me also, so he gave me a decision, an option. He said, you can either go to rehab or go back to jail. That's the only option I'm giving you.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I chose rehab.
Now, your husband had basically been going through a lot of stuff. He took JAG and himself and separated from you for a while. And in the sense that you were just out of control. He couldn't do anything with you.
Completely out of control. And he knew there was a problem, but if you back up for a moment, a few years earlier, I went through anorexia, and I tried to starve myself to death, and I ended up, instead of with heart failure that kills you, like Karen Carpenter did, I ended up with kidney failure, both kidneys failing. So any time he thought that I had taken something, which was all the time, I told him, no, it's my kidneys. It's because of my kidneys. You know, I would always blame my kidneys. But he knew there was something wrong, and he did not know how to help me. And I understand that because I did not know how to help myself. I did not know you could live a day without a drink or drug. I did not know that was possible. And even if I wanted to get to that point, where would I go for help?
Well, you ended up going into rehab, and that was a pretty, that is a very harsh experience, because this rehab environment you were in was not sweet, lovely, and intellectually enlightening. It was because you were seriously, seriously at that point where there had to be some way to reach you so that you could start putting your life back together, and down deep, you really wanted to, but you had a lot of the issues from the past. You had all of this addiction. And, of course, when you're dealing with addiction, the chemical change in the body that is produced because of that, whether it's alcohol, drugs, you're suffering from malnutrition, to get the harmony of the body chemistry and the brain chemistry where it's supposed to be, that is a major challenge.
It is. And they say it takes usually about a year after you get sober for you to get back to that brain level where you were at. And it takes about a year to start thinking reasonably and back at that level. So that's why they suggest you don't get a pet, or you don't change jobs, or you know don't get a plant right away, because it's going to take a year for you to get back there.
Now, one of the things that you were concerned with is AIDS.
Yes, when I was in rehab, every patient there has to see a psychiatrist. That's just part of the program. So when my psychiatrist came walking in the room, he looked at me and said, oh, so you have the disease. And I immediately fainted, because I thought he was talking about AIDS. I thought that he was saying that somewhere along the line, although I always use clean needles, he was saying somewhere that I had contracted AIDS. And of course, they got the ammonia spirits under my nose and got me back around, and he explained to me that addiction is a disease. And Donna, I had been to college 6 years, but no one ever had discussed that. You know, 30 years ago in pharmacy school, you didn't discuss that alcoholism and addiction were diseases, and that alcoholism is just a specific form of addiction. Nobody ever covered that back then. And so I really had a lot of learning to do about my disease.
One of the facts that you present in your book is called the X factor. And this has some kind of a genetic link. But, and I know that, for example, among many Native Americans, alcoholism has been, and drug addiction has been, a very, very big problem, because genetically their environment did not have certain things in it. And so they were very adversely affected in it. And it's passed down. It's a real major problem. And in the medical industry, for I don't know how many years, there has been talk about medical abuses. Mm-hmm. When you were going through the rehab, were you aware of other persons? I mean, there's doctors, there's nurses, it's not just pharmacists, in the medical industry because they have access to so much.
No, Donna, as part of my program in rehab, one of the last meetings I had was a meeting with just professional recovering addicts,
mm-hmm.
doctors, nurses, dentists, physicians, assistants. And the things I heard in those meetings floored me, because one anesthesiologist talked about how he would prepare two needles, one for the patient and one for him, and depending on the length of the surgery, yeah, it would depend on how high his high would get. The nurse talked about how she would take the Demerol out of the vials and inject herself, and then inject the patient, a suffering patient in pain, with saline.
Oh, that's hideous.
So I never knew that these people existed. Heck, I didn't know other pharmacists existed. I thought that, you know, I was just a freak. But I got involved in the Recovering Professional Program, and it involves pharmacists all over the state of South Carolina who have actually been caught diverting drugs, and it's a wonderful program. And in order to get your pharmacy license back, you have to go through this program and be on call. Like, I was on call every day for a year and a half for a urine test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the criteria. Of course, you have to go to AA meetings and have a sponsor and things like that. But it's a wonderful program for people who are serious about getting sober.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that happened that I thought was fascinating in your book, that there was a counselor that when she met you, she herself had mm-hmm. been a serious addict apparently, and she offered you 12 Reese's Pieces. And boy, you better like chocolate and peanut butter, because that's what that's all about.
Well, and she knew I did, so thank goodness.
But she, and there was a reason for that,
mm-hmm.
and I know from various encounters that I have had with people that have had challenges like this, and in their recovery, how important sugar is,
mm-hmm.
and it is something that the body, you often will try to replace the need, because so often people that are into addictions are suffering from serious malnutrition. They're not
mm-hmm.
taking supplements. They're not eating.
No.
I mean, I've known alcoholics that could slug down, you know, a quart and a half of
mm-hmm.
your finest whiskey and say, I'm not hungry. I don't need anything. Well, they got really a solid sugar shot in a format
mm-hmm.
that it's just, it destroys your internal organs because it's
mm-hmm.
just amazingly bad. And so when they got off of the booze, then they found that their sugar cravings, I mean, desserts and anything
mm-hmm.
that had sugar in it, they would just want it. Lifesavers, you name it. They're just putting it in their face as fast as they could get it. And they never, ever, I remember one man in particular that I knew that had been a hard, hardcore alcoholic. And he said, anything with sugar in it, I'm fine.
Hmm.
And
well,
he would just eat it, need it, need it.
Yeah, but that is not the reason she gave me those 12 Reese's Pieces. It wasn't for the sugar. It was because she said there's going to come a time when you're going to have to put the 12 steps between you and that drug.
Mm-hmm.
You may be alone. You may be with other people. You may be back in the pharmacy working and by yourself. And she said, stop. Just take a minute. She said an urge will last anywhere from 45 seconds to 3 minutes. She said just take those few moments out of your life, suck on a Reese's Pieces, put it between you and that drug, and wait for that urge to pass. And you know it's worked every time, Donna.
Well, that is wonderful.
I will die with the urge, but the obsession to drink and to drug has passed.
That is fabulous. One of the things you mentioned is that there were exercises that were done in your rehab process where you discussed the amount of money that addiction had cost you.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you stopped counting when it got to $500,000. We read of stories of movie stars, very famous people, who have literally sniffed millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
up their nose,
yeah.
destroyed their brains, their careers, their lives, and you go, whoa, what is it? Well, That's what makes it such a vile industry, because it is an industry of its own type. And being in the pharmaceutical environment, those of you that have exposure to that, that, and so many times many individuals are working long hours and they'll say, well, I'll just take something to keep me up and awake and all of this. From a professional point, because you've mentioned this professional group you were involved with, how does the medical profession monitor itself?
I don't think there is a monitor, Donna, except when you get caught. And, you know, by then you've ruined a lot of lives, including your own. So I don't think there is, you know, is a monitor. But you mentioned that I stopped at 500,000. You know, that that included work days, lost work days, sick days, you know, insurance. You know, American businesses, addiction cost American businesses $440 billion a year because of people like me. That's a staggering figure. So that 500,000 I was talking about, that it included all of that, the drugs, you know, the heroin, the sick days, and like I said, it stopped. I stopped at 500,000, and that wasn't even half of it.
With what you're doing now, Ann, you have been on this road, and you've come through it, and you share your experiences with other people, just as you have in the book, The Best Pharmacist. Your candor and your willingness to discuss this, I know that you're affecting the lives of other people. What's your website? Do you have a website that people can go to?
I do. It's thebestpharmacistbook.com. It's not quite complete, but you can go there and see it. But, Donna, just so you'll know, I am a strong believer in that something good always comes out of something bad. I want to tell you what, just for a moment, that because of the 12-step program and because of the fact that I do have ovarian cancer, I am able to counsel other cancer patients and use the 12-step program and make them have a whole different attitude about cancer and how to fight it. And that is something great that has come out of something so horrible.
Well, I concur. And not only that, but you've got a wonderful husband that and a very fine son. Your family was able to heal, and you have gone through so many more challenges, and as you said, you're able to work with other people. And I think that puts you into a very powerful positioning in that you can say, this is something I've gone through. I can't do it for you, but I want you to know what I've gone through. And that really has an impact on people and their thinking and their lives. And I think it's terrific. I compliment you for putting down the information, the facts, and having the willingness to say, this is me. And you don't have the secrets, and you don't have the fear. I really appreciate your being a guest with me today, Anne. Now,
well,
for those of you listening, thebestpharmacistbook.com is where you go to her website to find out more. But this is something that's a very real thing that's going on in life. And if you know of anyone that's going through challenges like this, it is a book I recommend highly, because it is a true story. It's a real story about a woman whose journey was a real rugged one, had a lot of twists and turns in it, and now she's able to empower other people to live life with purpose, passion, and understanding that even if they have gone through the dark nights, there's still light that's out there that they can reach for, and they can have a fulfilling life. And again, thank you very much for being my guest. I appreciate your time with me.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me and spreading the word.
Yes, ma'am, and keep it up.
Thank you.
You're needed. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I want to let you know that the telephone lines are now open. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Again, 888-815-9756. And quickly, before I know we've got a caller on the line, before I go to the caller, I want to let those of you know in the Washington area that I'm going to be speaking at the Seattle Tower Memorial Church this coming Sunday on the 12th of June. And my topic is going to be, well, just a minute. Let me just tell you. Let me take the caller and I'll give you all the information afterwards about where it's going to be. It's going to be in Seattle. So let me give you all of that information. When we come back, I'll take this caller first. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Sharon, I'm calling from Tempe, Arizona.
From Tempe. Boy, you're starting to cook down there in Tempe, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I loved your on-air guest.
Wasn't she wonderful?
Can I get the name of that book again?
Yes. It is called The Best Pharmacist.
Okay, I wrote that down.
The Best Pharmacist.
I had it written down. I just wanted to make sure it was correct.
Yes. And you can go to her website, thebestpharmacistbook.com, and you can find out even more. But I just think for anyone that has gone through such a series of experiences and life happenings as she has, it really makes you aware that there is so much that we never know about another human being. And when they have the courage to come out with what is really there, it makes a difference.
No, I applaud what she's talking about.
I think it's terrific. Okay, Sharon, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at here is a setback, but it's a small one. It's not a very big one. And when I look at the setback, it's as if the setback occurs because you're doing something as you would have done it, let's say, years ago. It's as if an old patterning has been around you for so long that to break it, you're having to have the setback so you rethink. And what I would say to you is this. Don't be afraid to ask some people around you that you respect a great deal that if they were in their situation, what would they recommend? Many times if we are in a situation, it can be professional, it can be something with a relationship, it can be a health issue. We are in it, and we don't know how to distance ourselves enough to have clarity on various perspectives that we should examine. And that is where you are right now. So you're in the process of changing certain patternings of thinking. Not that there's anything wrong with your thinking. It's changing the direction. Use an example of a recipe. You may find that you had a recipe that you utilized for 17 years. You never thought of changing it. And then all of a sudden you try a change, and that doesn't work very well. So you say, oh, forget it. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then someone else says, well, why don't you try this, that, or the other? And it works just beautifully. You go, gee, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good idea. So that's what you really need to be aware of. You are coming into an understanding of how your thinking and problem solving can go into a different level, and it will be very successful for you. So you're in this growing curve, and don't put yourself down. Just say, all right, let me find out what perspectives I perhaps am not seeing. And when you take that approach, you're going to get some interesting feedback, and you're going to be able to apply it, and it will be very good. Trust your own judgment. You have had experiences that will tell you that certain things just aren't going to work, but there are some things you don't know anything about that will work. So don't worry about the setback. You're going to be just fine. It's just working through it and getting supposedly the show on the road, so to speak, and you're going to do very, very well. This is a hard-working year. This is not an easy year because you are peeling away bit by bit, layer by layer, factors of patterns, beliefs, and you're saying, this doesn't suit me anymore. And that's fine. You'll do it in your own pace, in your own time, and this is not going to be a negative for you. By the way, you've got some traveling coming up, too. What would you like to ask me about? I think I lost the caller. Okay.
She did drop.
Okay. Yeah, Sharon can call back in if she wants. That's fine. And you can ask me your question, Sharon, because sometimes those cell phones can do funny things. This is Donna Siebel, and I wanted to, again, let you know that I'm going to be, and I get this, so that this is going to be a talk that I'm giving at the Tower Memorial Church. Now, if you wanted to find out about it, if you're going to be in the Seattle area on Sunday, it will be an 11 o'clock service. I've been invited to speak there, and I'm going to be doing some counseling with people after the service. You can get all of the details on that in my newsletter. You can go to DelphiInternational.com. You'll find out the location, the address, and this, you know, it's really an exciting opportunity for me. I'm really pleased with this because I am using as my theme a quote from an Antarctic explorer that I had the opportunity to interview many years ago. His name was Norman Vaughn. So it's about not being afraid and daring to fail. It's a good topic. So anyway, I'm going to be there, and you're welcome to come along and to say hello. I'd love to meet you. And then on the 26th of July, I'm going to be teaching a class in Lakewood, Washington. Again, the information is posted, and there's so many other things that are going on that are coming down the pike. It's just really amazed me. I didn't think I was going to have much on the calendar for the next 2 months, and it turns out I'm going to have plenty to do, including the daily show. So anyway, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. Dream big and dare to fail. That's my topic for this coming Sunday. Okay, and tomorrow I want to let you know we're going to have the Best of Donna. If you missed the interview that we had on Friday, the Delta Solution about the Navy SEALs, it was really good. We're going to replay that tomorrow. And then Wednesday I'm going to be back. We're going to be talking about how much more longer, Steve Elder. We're going to be talking about how you can empower yourself. Uncle Al Capone on Thursday. Yes, good old Uncle Al. We're going to be talking with his niece, Deidre Capone. She's going to be giving us some information about this man and, well, some facts about good old Al's life that none of us knew about. I think you'll find it fascinating. And then Lucinda Messer is going to be my guest on Friday. Powerful medicine, vitamin D. This is a naturopath, a woman that's done tremendous research on this. We're going to find out about its value and why it's so important to have it in your diet. So that is what we are going to be discussing. I wanted to share with you today something that Linda Ellis and Mac Anderson put together, and I came across it as I was getting ready for the show today, and it's called The Dash. I don't know if you've ever heard it. This is one of the most incredibly beautiful publications that I've ever seen, and Linda wrote this, and I thought it was so special that I wanted to share it with you today because it's very poignant and on so many levels. And this is how it says, how it reads, excuse me. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Linda Ellis. Fabulous lady. Wonderful, wonderful publication. And they have something online where you can go and you can find out about the magnificent photography they put with this. You can check out lindaellis.net. She has some poetry. And you can also find out more about the book, The Dash, with simpletruths.com. A wonderful, wonderful publication. Well, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. And I'm going to come back with a little bit of wisdom and things about no-nos. About your website. Ah, yes, almost everybody's got one today, and it's a wonderful, wonderful tool, but there are some things that have changed through the years, and we're becoming much more refined and much more sophisticated about how we have to put things together. So I'll be sharing some of that with you when we come back, and if I have enough time, I'll even share a recipe. Donna Sebo here. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. Well, websites. Anybody that's in business, we know that we need to have this, and there's so many things that we need to do, and we're all busy. But the potential advantages a website offers is just absolutely awesome for any business. But there are some specialists, Bobby Brooks and Tonnelly Adamson. They are out of California, and they say if you're putting together a website or if you have an existing website, you may need to update it. They say, number one, people don't read. Excessive text requires people, your visitors, to read the entire page. They say you want to have a lot of white space, more white space than words. Have you ever gone into websites and you look at it and you go, holy Moses, where am I supposed to go? I have. I've been on sites that I see so much stuff, I wonder what button to push, what click to click. And it can be very frustrating to people. And people are so accustomed to making decisions quickly, they want to be able to get to wherever they have to go efficiently and get done whatever needs to be done. A lot of people have what they call a bullet point mentality. So you want to have short tags that can be quickly seen and read. People don't like extensive pop-ups. They don't like the flashing banners or videos that cannot be muted. If there's too much movement or sound, it can be very distracting, and people may drop off the site if what they're trying to get to is not an easy thing for them to do. Also, you have to be aware of fonts and graphics and other things. You may need to upgrade whatever you've got. And you've got to be careful about what you use. You don't want to look at stuff that's, you know, really looks like a cheap job. So if you are in a particular industry, what is recommended is that you look at different people, different companies. What are they doing? What have they produced that when you see it, you go, wow, this is really nice. It's very easy to get around their website. It's easy for me to access information. I'm able to get everything that I need. One of the things I've noticed with a lot of people when they have websites, it's hard to find out how to get in touch with them. You don't have any real contact information. Sometimes people forget to put phone numbers down, or they, you know, if they have an email address, maybe they've discontinued it and they've forgotten to change it on their website. There's all kinds of things that go on like that. Also remember, color makes a difference. And dull colors, you want something that is going to be appealing to people's eyes when they look at it. So this is something that maybe you need to touch bases with someone else that's got a little bit more expertise. And again, check out those sites that really, really suit the style that you would like to have. Also, you don't want to have a home page that takes a long time to open or requires a whole bunch of going down the page to get to the proper information. Everything needs to be quick, fast, and easy, because that's what people like. So these two people that were giving these tips, you can check out mediaforwomen.com. Media for women, and guys are welcome to do it too. But these are people that this is their business. And of course, you may know some people too that really like to do this. But I've gone to a number of sites that, when I've gone to them, I go, how in the world does anybody find their way around them? So, but it's an ongoing job. We all are learning and growing and doing. And again, it's a good thing to ask other people for help whenever you need it. It really does make a difference. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number is 888-815-9756. Oh, and a quick mention. I am discontinuing my 800 number. With technology today, not as many people are using it, so they're just calling me directly on my regular office line, which is 253-582-5604. So just make a note, it will be taken off of my website, and it's something that if you were to call that 800 number, they don't have forwarding information on 800 numbers. It will just be disconnected, so I wanted to let you know about that. You know, we were talking with Andy about pharmaceuticals and the negative side, the dark side, you might say, of the medical industry where there's abuse, and her story about what she went through. But there is another side regarding fraudsters and scam artists. And this is relating to What is described as false cures and magical remedies that do nothing more than separate people from their money. Often when people get older and they start having health problems, they see these ads on television or they'll read, you know, they get, it's amazing the mail they get. Absolutely amazing. In our family with the older members, they will talk about how much mail they get, junk mail. It's like somebody's gotten into the Social Security system and said, well, we've got this person that just turned 62 or 65, and you're getting all this stuff in the mail. And there's a lot of hype with this. Well, I really liked what David Horowitz said, and I wanted to share it with you because I think that it's very good sense, and regardless of your age, there is no magic pill to cure the aging process or to do anything like that. Taking care of yourself is very important. Learning about nutrition and supplementation and exercise and what is right for you physically in the way of a food program. But these are things that people really need to pay attention to. And if you have older people in your family, you need to make them aware of this because they can spend hundreds of dollars a month that really should be going for something better in their life. Maybe buying good food to feed them with would be far better than buying a lot of the hype that's put out there. The people might claim that whatever they have is being suppressed by a scientific establishment. Now, there is a factor to that. I attended a lecture last week regarding certain information in the homeopathic area. And yes, there can be people that will poo-poo stuff, but there's going to be enough research that you can have information about natural remedies, et cetera. But you have to do the homework. You have to do the research and not buy into hype. Also, when there are phrases like scientific breakthrough, exclusive product, secret ingredient, or active remedy, well, sometimes that is all made up. That's just hype. That's just sales. That's advertising jargon. Side effects. And there are many products, natural products, that do not have side effects, but there are many herbs and what I would call Chinese remedies. You've got to be able to talk to someone that understands it because dependent on your physiology, you can have side effects. So it pays to be educated and informed. And you just can't take stuff just to take it because, gee whiz, this is what I'm going to do without really finding out the pluses and minuses of it. Also, you just need to be aware that there are a lot of things out there that are going to promise you all kinds of stuff. But if you do your homework, and you investigate, and you talk to some people. You know, we were interviewing a pharmacist today. That's wonderful. Do you know they are the best people to talk to regarding medications? They will tell you if what the side effects are going to be. We had a member of our family who was very ill, and the side effects of certain medications were given to this family member by one of the medical professionals, and the individual said, thank you, but I'm not taking that. I don't even want to take a chance on getting those side effects because the odds of them being what they will be is so high, why do I want to take a chance? And see, that's where this person was educated, and they said, no, 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 no. Well, if someone is not educated and they don't have this understanding and then something happens later on as a result, puts you in sort of a catch-22. So that's where a patient advocate is so very, very important for a family member. Now, by the way, if you feel like there is any kind of fraud that has hit you, the Federal Trade Commission, www.ftc.gov, they will be more than happy to assist you. If you suspect anything, they'll give you information. If something has happened, they will let you know what your steps are that you can do. And also, there are some other websites, and if you have members of your family that are older, check them out. You have quackwatch.org, Q-U-A-C-K, watch.org, and also the National Institute on Aging, NIA.NIH.gov, N-I-A like Adam, dot N-I-H like Henry.gov. And they will give you some information as well. In today's world, being an educated consumer is absolutely necessary. And it is not an easy road, I can tell you. There's just so many questions we have to ask, and lots of times people don't want to give you answers. But it's up to us to ask the questions. I have a quick recipe here that I wanted to share with you. I don't know if you like biscotti. It's one of our favorite cookies in the Siebel household. And there's, you know, out in the store you can buy all kinds of things. And some of them are okay, the flavor's good, but if you have a homemade biscotti, oh, there's nothing like it. And this is a lemon, cranberry, and pistachio biscotti. And you could substitute almonds if you didn't have pistachios. But this is really an easy, easy recipe, and I thought I would share it with you because there's some fun things you can do with it. Now, here it goes. And by the way, they'll stay for a month in the freezer, if not more, in a resealable plastic bag if you wanted to keep them that way. Okay, here's the ingredients for gnocchi biscotti. You're going to need 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/3 cup of granulated sugar, 1/3 cup of granulated sugar, 1/3 cup of lightly packed brown sugar. So don't press it down. Just lightly pack it and then level it. 2 eggs, and they need to be at room temperature, 2 eggs, 1 egg white, 1 egg white, 2 tablespoons of butter, should be soft, like at room temperature, 1.5 tablespoons of grated lemon zest, and the fresh zest would be preferable over the dried zest, but use what you've got. 1 tablespoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1/2 cup of chopped dried cranberries, and 1/2 cup of chopped pistachios, or almonds, if you like that. So 1/2 cup each of dried cranberries and 1/2 cup of chopped pistachios. Now, this is how simple it is. Your oven needs to be preheated to 350 degrees, and you're going to want to spray a cookie sheet with cooking spray and put it aside. You also might want to try to use parchment paper, but the choice is yours. You're going to take your dry ingredients, your flour, your baking powder, and salt, and whisk those together. That'll take you all of 5 seconds. Put that bowl aside. Then in a large mixing bowl, you want to beat together your sugars, your eggs, your egg white, your butter, your lemon zest, lemon juice, and vanilla on medium speed. And when that's well mixed, then you want to stir in, not beat, but stir in the flour mixture using a wooden spoon. I like to use the real good-sized spatulas for this, just until it's blended. Now, this dough is going to be very, very thick. Once that's mixed well, then you want to add your cranberries and pistachios and mix them well. Sometimes it's good when you can use your hands when you're mixing the nuts in. It goes a lot faster. If you don't like the dough underneath your fingernails, put on a pair of plastic gloves and just mix it. Mixes very, very well. You're going to divide your dough in half, and on your prepared cookie sheet, you want to lightly flour or grease your hands, and you want to take each half that you've got there and shape it into an 8x3x3/4 inch loaf. And you want to place the 2 loaves 3 inches apart. You bake it in the middle oven rack for about 20 minutes. Remove your loaves from the cookie sheet. Cool it on a wire rack for 15 minutes. Reduce the oven temperature to 275 degrees. Now your loaves that have cooled for 15 minutes, you want to put them on a cutting board, and you have to have a real sharp knife. You want to cut each loaf crosswise on a diagonal into 9 slices. Now, you may have some little scraps there. Good thing to munch on while the rest of this is cooking. And, of course, they don't have any calories in them, right? Right. Then you take your slices, cut side down, put them on the same cookie sheet, return to the oven and bake for 8 minutes. And turn the biscotti over, bake it for another 8 minutes, and cool them completely. And if you like chocolate biscotti, then melt, let's say, 1 cup of your chocolate chips in the microwave, and then maybe brush the biscotti with the chocolate or dip it in the chocolate. Have it in a flat type of a dish so that you can just dip the flat part of the biscotti in there, and you'll have your chocolate-covered biscotti. Yum. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous day or evening, wherever you might be. I'll be talking with you on Wednesday Live tomorrow. It will be the Delta Solution. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.